Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Pete, for the reading of the word, I want to encourage you. Ignite Summer Camp, I believe, is 54 days away. One of the greatest things about networking is all of the people that God has connected us to. And we have sent invitations to 6 churches so far. Friday, we'll send invites to 14 other churches. And so I say that to say this. Sooner or later, I'm going to come up here on a Sunday or Wednesday and say all spots are filled. And I would hate for us to fill that camp with Houston, Dallas, Austin, Kingsville, Brownsville, and in between, and have your young person from right here at Living Way be left out. So make sure you go sign them up, get all that information. And I want to thank this church. We've had over $1,700 in sponsorships already come in, and we appreciate that. That sends about 6 of our young people, 7 of our young people to camp. We appreciate that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Turn to your neighbor and tell them it's not too much to ask. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So Paul encourages us, being moved by the Spirit of God. There is only one way to be transformed, and it happens between your ears, in your mind. What you allow in your mind transforms you, that you may prove what is good. That's what we want. We want the good thing. What is acceptable? We want the acceptable things in God's eyes. And the perfect will of God. And then one more scripture, Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Empty and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. What he is encouraging the church at Colossae is this: don't let anybody ever teach you anything other than the foundation that is found in Jesus Christ. If what they teach you is not founded in Christ, you better run. Not run for us, run. You run as far as you can away from them. Talking cancel culture for our third session, you may be seated. Cancel culture is the modern form of ostracism, to dismiss something or somebody, to reject an individual or idea. Drastic efforts to silence, banish, or punish the offending party. Last 2 weeks, we've talked that truth is not subjective, that truth is not evolving, truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. We've talked about how the culture would love to silence parts of the Bible. And I'm just now in the last few months, and I've gone kind of silent on it, but I'm getting back into it. But there's a new newer social media app called TikTok. Now, TikTok gives, just like all social media, TikTok gives a lot of ignorant people a microphone and a lot of ignorant people a camera. And when I say ignorant, that's not a slam. That just means they don't know. And I know there's a saying that what you don't know can't hurt you. No, what you don't know can hurt you, and it will hurt you. Elon Musk, which you won't hear me quoting him a lot, but Elon Musk said a few months ago that he was not in favor of college education for most young people unless it is to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be an engineer, something that your career takes specific information that you need to learn. He said trade schools or YouTube are the best education. And this is what he said. He said, college only teaches you to really do 2 things, and that is to how to socially interact with people and how to do your chores. Make your bed, feed yourself, grocery shop. But he said, most everything in the world can be learned on YouTube. There's a single mother of 3 that she had a 2-story house, had the slab poured. She is not a contractor. She is not a builder, but she watched YouTube videos. And after that slab was poured, she and her kids did all the plumbing, all the framing, all the electrical work. She put the roof on. She painted. She ordered cabinets. She built an entire house that passed code. all by watching YouTube tutorials. Back to Elon Musk, he said, knowledge is free. You just have to be disciplined enough to put in the time to learn it. Can I encourage the church and those watching at home tonight? And I know I'm talking to longtime believers and strong believers, but let us never grow callous to the word of God that God has given us. Let us never grow comfortable that there is 66 books. And what I love about God's word is, listen, when you study math, 2 + 2 will always be 4. But what I love about the word of God is I can read the same scripture for 20 years and it means this. And then one day in prayer and in my secret, you know what I'm talking about, in my secret place of thunder, I read Ephesians 3:20 and it takes on a different meaning. I read John 3:16 and God just slays me with some more truth. Can I encourage you, 66 books of knowledge, of word, of principles, of faith-building promises that God has given us, which should make us want to binge read the word and not just binge watch Netflix. When God rolls us out of bed at 3 a.m. and says, I want you to open the app or I want you to grab your Bible, we should be excited. Why? Because God's getting ready to teach us something that is not only going to bless us in that moment, but it is going to help us build the future that God wants us to have. Somebody say amen. So that truth is a person, his name is Jesus. Jesus is too big to cancel. They're trying to rewrite the word of God. They're trying to say, well, this is not what the writer meant, and that was lost in translation. But I am here to tell you that I believe that the Spirit of God moved on the hearts of great men that penned the word of God. I believe that God has kept that word safe in some cases for 6,000 years, in some cases for 2,000 years. And it always excites me when someone over in the Middle East stumbles into a cave and they find Isaiah written on scrolls. Come on, somebody. They find out that the word of God was not just something that a man wanted to say, but here it is, found in pictures, found in a cave. And we start hearing people say, well, maybe there is something to this Jesus. The word of God, I believe every jot, I believe every tittle. I believe that what God wants to say has been said, and God has protected it all through time. He's too big to cancel. Truth changes us, but we don't change the truth. Truth does not conform, doesn't change from the outside in, but truth transforms from the inside out. That means that before we can really teach you what the Word of God says, it's best if you experience the Word of God. His name is Jesus Christ. That's why when you were on the outside looking in, the Word of God, you thought it was just a big list of do nots and thou shalt not. But when you met Jesus and then you looked at the Word of God, not as a list of do nots, but a love letter from a God to His creation and to His beloved, it changes everything. Sometimes I read the Bible and it fires me up. Sometimes I read the Bible and I say, God loves me so much. Sometimes I read the Word and it punches me square in my face. And I realize that even though it hurts me now, God loves me enough to rebuke and reproof and correct me in love and say, this is the truth. And we're not going to change the truth to match you, Brandon. We're going to change you to match the truth. The world is trying to cancel Jesus and cancel the Word of God. Some things that we cannot say or should not say. But let me tell you, if it's in the Word of God, we've got to stand on it. We've got to declare it. We can't hide that Word. The Bible says if it's hid, it's hid to everyone that is lost. We ended last session talking about being a thermostat instead of a thermometer. Not just indicating the environment, but literally dictating and regulating the environment. I believe as believers that God would have you make a difference on your job. I believe that when you walk the halls of your school, that God would have you be a calming and a peaceful influence. I believe that when you walk tomorrow on your job, that they ought to feel a visible or see a visible difference because you're there. And you want that to happen. Why? Because if you are influential just by you being there, guess who they're never going to fire? You become unfireable. And if they do fire you, it's because God's got a better plan somewhere else. John 17, verse 13, Jesus talking in prayer to the Father. We left last week right here. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they will have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. We must realize that the world is not our home. And we can do our best to try to fit in to this world and to this culture. But at the end of the day, why die trying to fit in when you were born and born again to stand out? That we are not like the world. We might dress in some ways like them. We might drive similar cars, and we might have similar tasks on our jobs. But when the rubber meets the road, they have to realize we are not like them, and they are not like us. Why? Because we've been bought with a price. On a Wednesday night, we are parked in the house of God, in the presence of God. You realize that when we say you're the cream of the crop, that's not just puffing. We really mean that, because out of 2 million people, we've got a few hundred people on campus tonight that said, God, I'm going to go into your presence. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to have these intimate moments with you. But then, God, I'm going to open your word, and I'm going to let you speak something to me about my now, something to me about my next, something to me about what happened this week, something to me about what you're doing next month, next year, next decade. Said the world hated them because of the word. As a believer, I am of the word, not of this world. I'm rooted in the word. I'm not rooted in the world. That means that when the winds change, I don't change with them. That means when there's new age and it's becoming, the hashtag was trending this last week, not evangelical, but ex-evangelical, and progressive Christianity. And progressive Christianity is an all-out attack on real faith and real believers, because progressive Christianity is not screens and lights and haze. Progressive Christianity says it's okay to have abortions. Progressive Christianity says it's okay to change your gender and to go after the same sex. I'm preaching and it's getting quiet. This is straight out of the Word of God, but the Bible commands us and tells us that there is only one way that you should get married. He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God, listen, God said, I formed you and I knew you before you came out of your mother. I had a plan for you. I've got thoughts for you. I've got destiny for you. Don't kill. Oh, come on now. I don't change. You can call it whatever you want. You can change the name to whatever you want. But the moment you leave the Word of God, and the moment that you start espousing something different, you and I are not the same. I am a Holy Ghost filled. I am a blood bought. I am a Bible taught. I am a demon slaying. I am a praise making. I am a worshiping, fasting, serving, quoting. I that's who I am. You can be whatever you want to be. But at the end of the day, if you don't know the Jesus of the Bible, and you don't govern your life by the word in that Bible, then listen, you don't have a beef with me, because I'm going to love all men. I'm going to live peaceably with all men. I'm going to let you do you, boo, and I'm going to keep doing what God has called me to do. It's not me you should be worried about. It's not the evangelicals you should be worried about. It should be the God that each one of us are going to stand before him. And I don't want to stand before him saying, you were good until the wind started blowing. You were strong in faith until this new idea was introduced. I want to tell you, it might look different. Methods might change, but the message still remains the same. The mantle still remains the same. That God and the gospel still work. They don't need updating. They don't need updating. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world. Man, I love this.
Jesus said, at this point, I could pray that you would just end it right now. I could pray that when I ascend to heaven after the crucifixion, that you let me come right back or let them ascend with me. But he said, this is my prayer. Oh, church, this should fire you up. He said, it's not for them to escape. But he said, I pray that you would protect them. And the fact that Jesus, on a Wednesday night, with everything going on in the world, is at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for us. He is praying for, he's still praying this prayer, protect him, Father. But this is what he's also praying, Luke 22, 31. I'm praying that your faith would not fail. I'm praying that your faith would not get wishy-washy. I'm praying that your faith would not get double-minded. I'm praying that your faith that you had when you were a five-year-old that got saved, I'm praying that the faith that you experienced on a Wednesday night at Living Way, that it would not change. It would only grow stronger. Don't deliver them from this world. Just protect them in this world. That's powerful to me. You know what that also announces to me? And I know this won't preach good, or maybe it will on a Wednesday night. It tells me that there is going to be trouble. It tells me that I will be surrounded by danger. But I know that Jesus is praying for my faith. I know that he's praying for my protection. I know that I got the Holy Ghost in me, and it's telling me where to go and where not to go, who to be with and who not to be with. And so when I got all of those things going on, I don't care what's happening in the Middle East, I'm going to pray about it. It doesn't matter what's happening in our country, I'm going to pray about it. But when I get up on Thursday morning, I'm going to say, God, what are we doing today? God, where are we going today? I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to walk in anxiety. I'm not going to work in depression. I'm going to be the me that God has called me to be. I'm not going to let culture cancel my God or what God has promised in me. You know, that's what the devil is supposed to do, is cancel your assignment. The Bible says this, that when Daniel prayed, that immediately Michael was sent for the prayer, but that the prince of Persia withstood him. What was he doing? He was trying to cancel the assignment. The culture of this world is trying to cancel the God on the inside of you. They're trying to push you into a corner and saying, if you believe that, believe it, but don't you dare speak up. And they call us intolerant. Isn't it the most amazing thing that the people who cry intolerant the most are the most intolerant? Because what they're saying is you don't get to say that. You're intolerant if you say that. You have to say and believe what I'm saying. That's intolerant. Because I'm still here on a Wednesday night saying, you do you, boo. Just give me equal footing. You say what you want. I'm like Elijah. Come on, Baal. I'm gonna give you the spot. Where's your God? Let's go. Talk to him. Let him show up. You want to have some praise and worship? See if he shows up. You want to quote some Baal? See if he shows up. I'm going to let you go first. I'm going to give you equal footing. Because when I show up and I start talking about Jehovah God, my God is not sleeping. He is not slumbering. He hasn't forgot about me. He's not ignoring me. I will be back in 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 weeks. When I call on Jehovah God, if he sees a sacrifice and an altar and he hears faith, he's going to show up. He's going to show up. Turn to your neighbor and tell them they can't cancel me. They can't cancel me. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Assignment overrides escape. Purpose overrides exit. Sometimes we pray protection and not deliverance. Sometimes we pray protection. We should pray protection and not deliverance. Why? Because I've learned the greatest lessons of my life, not on the mountaintop, but in the valley. Some of the greatest things that have happened in my life have not happened on the mountaintop, but in the valley. I said this a few months ago. Remember, fruit doesn't grow on the mountaintop. Fruit grows in the valley. And the reason why mountaintops are so exciting is because of the valley you had to go through to get to that thing. And so when we're spirit-fed and spirit-led, then we start saying, God, I know that this isn't your hand. I know that you didn't do this to me, but God, I'm just asking, like David, I want you to go with me through the valley of the shadow of death. I won't fear. Why? Because I know you're with me. And I know that in the valley, I'm learning something. I know that in the pressure, I'm becoming something. I know when I'm going through something that's uncomfortable to me, I'm learning something. So that's when the Holy Ghost has to catch our prayers and sometimes turn those deliverance prayers into protection prayers. Because sometimes God is calling you to adversity because of what he's going to do through you in that moment. Of who you're going to pull out of the fire in the fire. Of who you're going to pull out of the mess in the mess. Who you're going to invite, who you're going to deliver, who you're going to bring out of that thing, out of that place that so many would just say, God, deliver me. And God's saying, no, I'm going to protect you, but I've got an assignment for you that while you're down there, you're going to be a great testimony. And when you come out, you're going to look over your shoulder and see that there's 50, 100, 150 people that you showed the way how to get out of that. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Jesus says it again. In less than four verses, Jesus has said it twice, that we as believers, we are not of this world. The moment you said yes to Jesus, the moment I said yes to Jesus, the game changed. The moment you said yes to Jesus and accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, your future changed. If your future changes, your now should change. I've been writing a post, and I haven't posted yet. Maybe I'll get around to it tonight or tomorrow. But I've had people in my life that used to know me. How many of you have run into people that knew the old you? Just raise your hand. Has anyone ever told you, you've changed? If you mean I've grown, yes. You've changed. If you mean I'm stronger, yeah, I'm stronger. You've changed. Oh, you mean I'd rather talk about the solution instead of the problem? Yeah, that's me. You've changed. Oh, you mean I don't gossip about people, but now I give my life to build people? Yeah, that's me. You've changed. I don't go clubbing anymore, and I don't lose myself in a substance and sit on a stool for happy hour, but instead I go to church 2, 3, 4 times a week, and I serve, and I give. Oh, yeah, that's me. Maybe it's not I've changed. Maybe it's I'm transformed, and the conformed will never understand the transformed. The thermometers will never understand a thermostat. A thermometer is just going to make you mad. 2 months ago, it's 6 degrees in San Antonio. And you got a thermometer on your wall, it's just going to make you mad because it's a continual reminder. This is the environment and you can't change it. But a thermostat, unless ERCOT gets involved, but a thermostat, once you set it, you can set it and forget it. Because if it ever fluctuates and that environment starts changing around you to something that you said, it cannot be like this anymore. Once it hits that degree, the thermostat tells the air conditioner or the heater, hey, you need to turn on. You need to get this thing cranking. You need to do your job. Why? Because the one that owns you, the one that has dominion over this house and this place, has regulated that this is what can happen in this environment. I'm a mama's boy still, and I go down to her office every day that I'm in town, and this is like confession session. I would like to stay longer in her office, but I don't, because doesn't matter if it's 100 degrees outside or 6 degrees outside. She's going to have it like 76 in that office. is because she's lost all that weight and she don't have all the padding that some of us have. So I'm sitting there and I'm sweating. But here's the option. It's her office. So if I'm going to be in her office, I have to be okay with the environment that she wants. Not what kind. You say, well, it would be a good, if she were a good host, she would make it like, no. That's not what it's about. It's about, this is my office. If you want it cold, go somewhere else. If you want to be comfortable, go somewhere else. But if that's what you call comfort, you're not going to be comfortable with me. Oh, I'm going to preach you happy in these last 2 minutes. There's a lot of us that came out of one way of living, and culture has tried to define us and tell us this is how you have to live. No. If that's how you want to live, that's at your house. That's at your place. That's where you are. But when you come into my proximity, when you come into my house, when you come into my life, I don't have to change my life to match what you like. You have to change your existence to match what I am, what I like, who I am. It's amazing to me. You won't let people smoke around you, but you'll let them gossip around you. You wouldn't let them take a hit of crack around you, but you'll sure let them run their mouth about government, run their mouth about your boss, run their mouth about their wife. Isn't it amazing how we pick and choose? My house, you come to my house tonight, it's going to be a cool 66 degrees. We hanging meat in there. It's like a meat locker. Jane's like, I'm so cold. I'm like, well, you better pray that God leads you to a man that wants it set, because in my house, it's going to be 66. And I got news for you. I'll buy you all the sweaters you want, but don't you dare touch that thermostat, because it's my house and it's my thermostat. You touch that thermostat, you're going to need another place to live, or I'll put a lockbox on that bad boy. It's my house, my rules. If you don't like it, you can get out. Why are we like that with frivolous things? But when somebody brings all that baggage, listen, there's only three things to do with your cares. Jesus said, cast your cares. Or Paul said, cast your cares, because he cares for you. Cast your cares on Jesus. Or you can carry your cares, or you can cast them on someone else. This is the danger with letting culture around you in such a way where they're always trying to change you. They don't know Jesus. You're the closest thing to Jesus they've ever met. So when they cast their cares, they don't cast their cares on Jesus. They cast their cares on the thing that they know that's closest to Jesus. I am not the city landfill. You are not going to dump on me. I don't want to listen. You give me just enough information for me to pray for me to pray for you, for me to pray over. You give me just enough information so that I can put my faith on it. But I'm not here to listen to you run down your spouse. I'm not here to listen to you talk about all the problems with the church. What I'm here for is for faith. What I'm here for, that's why I need to be around people like Chris and Sister Tammy and Brother Kevin. That's why Brother Lacey's one of my favorite people in the world, because when I'm with him, it's not about culture. It's about Jesus. It's about faith. And you can't cancel his word. You can't cancel my faith. And you can't cancel him. Stand on your feet. Man, I thought we'd get a lot further. Verse 17. Thank you, Sister Sean. Sanctify them by the truth. This is Jesus' words in verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth, is what he said. Sanctify is the Greek. It means to become holy. There that word is, again, from Romans 12. To consecrate. That word consecrate, I preached on it to our young people 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Consecrate means to set aside for sacred service. That means when we consecrate, it's not for a new car.
when we consecrate, it's not so that we can get close enough to him where he will give us anything we want. He's not a sugar daddy. He's Abba Father. To consecrate, to be dedicated, to be devoted. He said the only way that you can get sanctified is by the truth. The word is the truth. Every day of my life, I'm faced with choices. I watch the news. You know, watching the news can evolve your theology into a very bad place. You know, watching pop culture and getting too deep into it. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I'm closing with this. Give me 45 seconds. Listen to a lot of podcasts. Listen to business podcasts. Listen to entertainment podcasts. Listen to ministry podcasts. One of my favorite podcasts, which might shock you, is Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is an exceptional thinker. But I've had to turn Joe off because if I listen to him much, I agree with way too much of what he has to say. And then I start seeing it start clouding my decision. Well, maybe we should do it like this. And God always brings me back to center. My word. If it doesn't agree with this, if it's not founded on this, don't listen to it. It's hard to do. Because you got to cut out like 95% of that. You got to plug into him. Worship word, prayer, these services, great preachers, both men and women, podcasts that you can dive into. But there's nothing like the word of God, God talking to you, straight to you, no middleman. I want to open up this altar right now for those that maybe you're on that tipping point. Man, there's so much in my life that needs to be regulated, and I know that it's on me. I'm the one. One of my favorite quotes I read recently is, "You're the CEO of your life. Hire and fire accordingly." What does that mean? That everything that's going on in your life, you control. God has given you dominion. God has given you power. God has given you authority. God has given you the weapons. You might not have wished it, but you can control how long it stays, how adversely it affects you. We're going to get into that next week. Man, I wish we would have got there today. We're not going to get there today. But when the devil comes at you with a weapon, there's some weapons that you need to go right back with him, at him with. Some of you in this altar, I know very well. Some of you I'm seeing maybe for the first time or the first few times.